Have you heard the woeful tale of Dorian Gray? It was said that Dorian Gray was a beautiful and handsome man, full of charisma, and so the world, he thought, belonged to him. So self-absorbed was he that Dorian pursued really the only thing in life that he believed to be worthy of pursuit. Pleasure. Why shouldn't his every desire in life be fulfilled? What could possibly stop such a man to whom so many gravitated? But of course there was a problem. See, even Dorian knew that his beauty and his youth would not last forever. And when it faded, pleasure too would fade. But Dorian had a painting. It was a portrait of himself, masterfully done, one that caused him to become even more infatuated with himself than he already was. And so one day, gazing upon his likeness, Dorian made a wish. He made a deal. It was the offer of a transaction. He wished that he would always remain young, always remain beautiful, like the painting before him, free to pursue his own desires. And in return, he offered up his soul. His offer was accepted. After callously breaking the heart of a young woman, Dorian returned home, and to his surprise, he saw that the painting had changed. The face, his face, now carried a slight and cruel sneer. As the years went on, Dorian freely sampled the sins of the world, all the while his beauty and his youth remaining flawless. But with every sin, with each new misdeed, great and small, the painting changed. It bore the scars slashed upon his soul. And over the years, the painting became more and more hideous, reflecting Dorian's true nature back onto himself like some horrible, truthful mirror. Dorian hated it. The painting haunted him, for he could never truly enjoy the pleasures of the world so long as his painted face looked down upon him. Now, perhaps Dorian was able to hide his true nature from those around him, but when he looked at the painting, it was as if looking into a mirror. Scripture describes the law of the Lord, all the requirements that God would have upon us in a similar way. All the requirements of God given to us in sacred Scripture show us each and every scar, each and every sin. It shows us who we really are. And it haunts us, as Dorian was haunted by his painting. See, when you gaze upon God's holiness, when you look upon the Creator and realize that you are just a creature, and you hear His command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, you know that you stand condemned. Can you say, yes, I have loved God with all my heart, soul, and mind, with my entire being, and yes, I have loved every neighbor near and far as I love and care for myself? Can you? I can't. And so before the Lord, we are silenced. We are left defenseless. We stand condemned and accountable for every thought, word, and deed, done and not done, committed against the Lord and against our neighbor. God's law has painted a picture for us, and it is hideous to look upon. 499 years ago, this terrified Martin Luther. And it terrified much of the medieval church because they had this painting in front of them and they didn't have an answer for it. Because over the years, the church had kind of lost the gospel. It's like it was a chest put up in the attic and left to sit there and dust accumulated on it. And you go into the attic and you don't know what's in that box. You just think it's spiders. So you leave it alone. Luther was terrified. The church was terrified. They would do their penance. They would do their good works. They would do good deeds. They would try to do what law of God commands of them. They would give alms, they would give sacrifices, they would do whatever they could, but no amount of work could take that sneer off of their painting. And then Luther discovered the book of Romans. And in it, in studying it, he dusted off that treasure and found again the gospel. See, when Luther read the book of Romans, he in fact saw that there is no good work, no deed that can be done, no amount of righteousness that a person could do to become right before the Lord. There was no amount of prayer, no penance that could cause him to be in a right relationship between God the Father. Yet, he saw something special in Romans. He rediscovered that it wasn't his work that mattered, but God's work. A work that the Lord would do for him and did do for him. And this work that God the Father did for him was nothing less than Jesus Christ, putting his own Son forth upon the cross for Luther, for every human being that has lived before him and since him, as a sacrifice, as a work, as God's deed done for you, the only one capable of making you and I right in God's eyes, worthy of forgiveness, worthy of the life of the Lord. God the Father gave his Son as a gift for you and I. And there's no attachments to this gift. It's not something that you might give to a kid hoping that they'll do well in school, that you'll dangle this gift in front of them. If they do well enough in school, then you'll get the gift. It's not like that. It's just a gift. A gift received in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Received with open hands. Nothing more. And it is by this gift that in faith alone, through the grace of Christ alone, that you are made right before the Lord. The Lord looks upon those whose faith is in Christ alone and sees not the painting made gruesome and hideous by our sin and our feeble works. Instead, he sees you cleansed. He sees you claimed by the blood of Christ. He sees you dressed in white, He sees in the person of faith in Jesus his beloved son and his beloved daughter, a wonderful piece of artwork restored and reclaimed by Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your gospel. Continue to show it to us each and every day. Wake us up each morning in the knowledge of your forgiveness for our sins, in what you have done for us in baptism and what you continue to do for us each day. Show us your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might continue to have life. We pray this in your name. Amen.